Blog Talk Radio.
Guys, hey, we got a great podcast tonight. Coming with us tonight, we're going to have actually with us tonight's podcast, Dark Waters. We're going to be talking about the Dog Men on tonight's podcast. Pretty exciting to me, guys.
Oh, yeah, super excited. Hoping that the mic's working. Okay. All right, so yeah, tonight we're going to be talking about Dog Man. We're going to have a special guest, YouTube's very own Dark Waters. He does a lot of Dog Man investigations. He really knows a lot more than we do about the subject.
And been on the Coast to Coast show and other shows.
Darkness Radio recently.
So I'm really excited.
We're very excited to be talking to him tonight. As always, We will be taking questions live. We'll do your live tweets. You can call in. The number is...
getting to that. The number to call in, guys, 657-383-0551. Once again, that's 657-383-0551. If you want to talk tonight, you got a comment you want to give on tonight's subject. Again, tonight we're talking about the Dog Men. Dark Waters, again, going to be on. But call that number or visit us on Facebook. Check out the MonsterCast. Put in MonsterCast. You'll find us on there. But definitely check us out. If you got questions, if you're a little radio shy, I should say, definitely check us out there.
And if you're too shy to talk, go ahead and tweet MonsterCast. At MonsterCast BTAT for me, at MonsterCast Rick, and
Fanboys Cafe. hey, with us, actually, we got Dark Waters on the line right now. Dark, you with us?
I'm here, guys. How's it going?
How's it going, Dark Waters? Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, no, I'm more than happy to join you guys. I was worried for a second, man, because I had a sinus attack out of the blue. It feels like my nose just exploded, but I got it together just in time, like literally minutes before I called you guys. I was able to breathe, and I'm very happy to be with you. I'm very happy to speak with you guys. So thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
This is Rick here. I've been in most contact with you for the last couple weeks, and every story that I've heard you tell has just been mind-blowing on the Dog Man subject, and I searched you out just because we wanted to do this, and I wanted to talk to you.
Well, like I said, I'm very happy to be on your show, and without any further delay, I'll start telling you guys a little bit about Dog Man. So I like to start off every time I hold a discussion about this particular cryptid. I like to start off by giving people fair warnings that there is a distinct difference between entertainment and reality. What I do is entertainment, right? I entertain people. I scare them, and I pride myself on scaring people. I mean, I want you to not be able to sleep. I want you to have nightmares once you've heard my material. Then when it comes to some things, you cross over into the reality of whether it's real. And there's skeptics, and there's people who say, well, I don't believe you. I mean, and I have a call number where people can actually call and talk to me. So I get probably 20, 30 calls a week. Some people say, I don't believe you, and I don't know if what you're saying is true. And what I say to them is this: if you go out looking for Dog Man, I don't think he cares if you believe he's real or not. You're food to him. So leave it in the realm of reality, because once you cross out of – leave it in the realm of entertainment, because once you cross into the realm of reality, you go into the woods seeking out something like this. The question is, what do you do when you find what you're looking for, you know? How do you defend yourself from a werewolf?
Yeah.
Right, right.
We did an episode on the Black Eyed Kids a couple weeks ago, and it ended up with us researching so hard that I myself had a very strange experience with them. So I fully understand what you're saying about reality and entertainment.
If you go looking for something, sometimes you find it. Scary. but that's what we're here for.
Right, and in this case, you know, like, there are people who go out looking for great white sharks, right? And you're capable of defending yourself from a great white shark if you have the right equipment. There are people who go out looking for dinosaur skulls, and there are people who want to raid tombs and find mummies, and all that stuff is good and dandy. But when you start going out looking for a living killing machine, that is well documented that people have had these encounters, and you hear the same thing over and over and over and over again from multiple sources, then you have to lean to the side that, okay, well, this is possibly real. And so what I tell people is I have a common sense rule for dealing with these type of things. Common sense tells me that if more than 10 people have had an encounter with something, then there's something to it. There's a reality to it, right? And
exactly.
I don't need to go out and experience that reality for myself to believe it. So as long as people use common sense, they'll be fine, you know. And just before I tell any stories, if you happen to encounter one of these things while you're out hunting or fishing, or just leave it alone. Go the opposite way. Don't try and be Rambo and shoot it. Don't try and hurt it. Don't try and document it. There's no need for any of that. All you're doing is putting yourself at risk. Just go the opposite way and consider yourself lucky that you got out of the situation. Because once you put yourself in a situation where you've assaulted or hurt one of these things, then you really have problems. Because you know how we as human beings are. If you're out with your wife or significant other or your child, and someone walks up on you and slaps your wife or tries to shoot at you, you're going to defend yourself. And when you're talking about an apex predator that's highly intelligent, of course it's going to defend itself. Now, if its idea of self-defense is following you home and eating you, then you can't really be mad at this creature anymore because you actually provoked it. So as long as you don't provoke these creatures, you should be fine. And if you come in their presence, just go the opposite way as fast as possible and as calmly as possible.
And now that's something I wanted to ask you about. From the research I've done, it doesn't seem like they're aggressive unless there's a reason for it. It seems like they try to avoid us. Has that been your experience?
Yes, I've talked to countless people who have actually had dogmen come to their house, looking in their windows. Some people have them on their roofs. But
oh,
they
wow.
haven't tried to break in their house at all.
Or they seem
the
more
issue
inquisitive.
Really comes. I'm sorry, what did you say?
They seem more inquisitive than dangerous at that aspect, unless they're approached, I'm looking at it as.
Exactly. So you have an inquisitive animal that comes out that wants to inspect. Now, will they eat your dog? Will they eat livestock? Will they kill that? Yeah, it's a predator, right, at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
But how it interacts with humans. The first thing is it tends to go its opposite way, or it tends to look around and see things and check out what's going on. And like I said on one of the other shows, there's levels to the engagement with these creatures. So at the base level, you should be perfectly fine. Now, if you accelerate things and you escalate things to the point to where you decide that you're going to assault these things, whether it's out of fear, because, you know, you see a 9-foot-tall walking wolf, of course you're afraid and you got a weapon. You're like, oh, I'm going to shoot it. But the idea of a 9-foot, 10-foot tall walking wolf in itself should let you know that, okay, I shouldn't shoot it. I should go on about my business. But needless to say, it escalates once you decide you're going to assault this creature. So as long as you're not out there trying to assault them, you should be fine. And I'm going to say should be fine. But
now, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Ask your question.
Oh, I was just going to say, now I'm a hunter. I live in Pennsylvania. I've been in the woods my whole life. And I would never, if I saw a creature like that, I just don't I don't think my mind would ever go to shoot it. It's something you've never seen before. It's too majestic. Why would you want to kill that?
Well, I mean, I agree with you. I'm not a hunter, but and I don't spend time in the woods at all. And since I've discovered this, I won't be spending any time in the woods. But so there are certain people react to things differently. Some people react aggressively out of fear. And some people who are different, you know, people react to these encounters completely and totally different. So that may be your reaction. That's a good reaction. But for some other people, it's been the exact opposite. It's been, oh, my God, this is a war. It's a werewolf. It's going to get me. And they shoot. So, again, like I said, as long as you're not that person that's out there being the aggressor, you should be fine. And you go the opposite way. And I think her name is what's the lady who does the all the dog man stories? She's like the preeminent force on dog man.
Oh, I wish I could remember the name.
Her name's on the tip of my tongue. Linda Godfrey. So Linda Godfrey has done story after story after story about dog man. And she talks about how they turn the other way at the, you know, at the last moment and tend to try and avoid people. And initially I wasn't in agreement with her because I was getting a whole bunch of reports of aggressive activity. Well, when I started correlating the aggressive activity versus the human activity, it turns out that in cases where the human being was aggressive towards them, it really, really escalated him. So I can't say more than enough that people should consider this to be a real phenomenon. And if they run into them, they should go the opposite way and they should just let it go. Now, to get into some of the stories that I have, one of the ones, the most recent one, and this is a case of someone assaulting it. A father and his son are down south Louisiana outside of Houma, and they go out and they go hunting. They're about a mile and a half, no more than 2 miles away from the house where they get to their hunting blind. The son and the dad are in the blind, and his son is set up to shoot a deer, right? They go out before, early day before the sun comes up, and they get positioned, and the dad is, just as the sun comes up, the dad is digging in his little backpack to get some beef jerky and water, and his son starts firing shots. And he's like, man, what are you shooting at? You know, he didn't expect his son to shoot the gun at all. And he's like, man, what is this kid shooting at? Well, he looks up, and he sees a deer running across a clearing, excuse me, and behind it is what looks like this big, gigantic, bear-sized dog on all fours. And so the son, backing up, the son says that he tried to shoot the deer, but he believed he hit the bear. That's what the son called it at first. Well, the bear dog stands up on two legs, and now they're looking at a dog man. And they're about 75 to 100 yards away, and they're standing up and is sniffing, looking around, trying to figure out what just assaulted them and what went on. So they quietly, after it leaves, they quietly get down and skedaddle getting out of there. The next night, he comes and pays them a visit. The son is in the bed. He sees it outside. He comes running in his parents' room, dives in the bed, telling his dad, it's outside. And his dad is like, well, what's outside? And then it hits him that, wow, did this creature or could this creature possibly follow us home? He gets his shotgun, goes to the back of the house, and they have one of these sliding glass doors like you would find at many apartment complexes or any many houses where there's like a screen on the outside and you slide that glass door and you can leave your screen closed and get fresh air. Well, looking out of the glass door, he didn't see anything. His wife comes up and she startles him, talking to him from behind, and he turns around to face his wife, and as he's talking to her, she sees it. And the look on her face lets him know that something is so crazily, something so wrong and so crazy, because she screams and runs off. He turns around. Now this thing is in his backyard, and it's standing there in his backyard, and he's looking at it. And now I'm going to pause and tell you guys a little bit about my process of how I get my stories, because I have to start using these interviews as a better opportunity to explain some of the things that a lot of my subscribers want to know. When I talk to people about their encounters, it's two types of conversations I have. I have the face-to-face conversation, which face-to-face I can quickly assess who's lying and who's telling the truth. And then there's these phone conversations that I have with people. In this case, this was a face-to-face and phone conversation, but initially everything started over the phone. And what you find out is if you listen very closely – just what's going on in a person's household, you can find out all the truth you would ever want just by listening what the other people are saying in the household. So as I'm hearing the story with the phone the first time, the son is in the background freaking out because he's reliving this. And his wife is saying, honey, sit down, relax. It's okay. It's not coming back. We're okay. I'm like, okay, well, there's some truth to this. And then the wife says, I don't want to talk about this. I really don't want to talk about this. So she doesn't want to talk. And so I'm like, okay, we're on to something here. I get in the car, I go down, I pay them a visit, I go to the house, and I have a conversation with the son. He tells me everything that he saw. Finally, the wife opens up. She tells me everything that she saw. And so I talked to the next door neighbor, and he had his own encounter. So I'm going to pick up the story where I left off. So the husband is there. He turns around, and as he's looking through this glass, he sees this dog man. And he describes it as the prototypical werewolf. It has huge shoulders, elongated snout. It's muscular like a bodybuilder. It is standing on its back on two legs like dog hock legs. It's a dog type dog man, not the Bigfoot type dog man. And it's standing there panting and breathing heavily like it just finished running. And it initially its face is not facing him, it's turned to the side. And then it turns to face him and makes eye contact with him. And one of the most interesting things that he shared in the story is that it faces him and it makes eye contact. And the look on his face was an impression that it gave him, almost a human-like expression was, and he took this was, you came to my house and I'm coming to yours. And it stared and looked at him and stared him down to make him stop looking at it. The minute he stopped making eye contact, the dog man runs around the side of the house, right? So, of course, you don't sleep after that. No one would sleep after having that kind of type of encounter. Next day he calls into work, says he's not going to work. I'm not coming in today. He goes to talk to his neighbor, and his neighbor always plays with his son. His neighbor loves his son to death, and he goes to share the story with his neighbor, but his neighbor has his own encounter with the dog man that same very night, in which the dog man killed his dog, which is a bull massive, which I didn't know what a bull massive was until I Googled it. That's a big dog.
That's a real big dog.
And he has an encounter where it kills his dog because the dog attacks it, right? So now you have two people within the same neighborhood who've encountered this dog man, and it leaves. Then it comes back again the next night as he's laying on the sofa sleeping and relaxing. He's sleeping in his living room because he doesn't want to sleep in the bedroom because he wants to hear everything going on in the house. And he's awakened out of his sleep just because he has this eerie feeling of someone watching him. Well, he looks out of the window, and he sees this dog man walk from past the window. And he sees it, physically sees this thing walk past the window. Now he's freaking out. He calls the cops. The cops come out, and on a 911 call, he told them that there was a burglar trying to break in his house. The cops come out. They see these impressions around his house. And he says, well, officer, you know, I don't know what we're going to do about this burglar. And the officer says, well, I don't know what makes you think you got a burglar, but there's no person that was at your house. I don't know what came to your house, but it wasn't a person. And so they didn't have any more activity after that, and they haven't had any more activity. I've been keeping in contact with them pretty consistently. But again, it goes to show you're talking about a killing machine that could have easily come into that house and killed them, but it chose not to. So,
all right. Hey, Dark, this is Hogan. I want to jump in here for a quick second, just ask you a few questions. These are just some of the things you and I had talked about earlier in kind of the pre-show stuff. But for years, when I would look at the Dogman phenomena, I would think it's probably nothing more than a misdiagnosed Sasquatch sighting. And from your experience, that's not the case. It's not somebody who's seeing Bigfoot. It's something else completely different, correct?
Completely different. Completely and totally different creature.
Now, I'm curious, and this was what I was looking for in that story you were just telling, when the police came, was there any physical evidence in any way? And I was hoping you were going to say something about footprints, because that's where really I was wondering where it was going to go. Was there large human-like footprints, or in some of the things I've read about dogman sightings, it's actually not, again, to go away from the Bigfoot theory, is that some of the footprints that have been found have been large canine footprints. any experience in this case or in others when it comes to something like that?
Well, there was large canine prints outside of their house. Large canine prints, large enough to where it wasn't any type of known animal that was that's known to be in southeast Louisiana. There is no large wolf-like canine creature in South Louisiana. You have dogs, but nothing whose prints were this big. So there were prints. There was saliva on the window, on the window screen. There was enough evidence there that the officer knew that it wasn't a human being.
All right, Dark. This is Rick. Did anybody? Was there any photographic evidence of the prints?
Cast made.
Any cast? Any hair samples? Any samples of the saliva left by the dog man on the windows? Was there any evidence like that taken?
No, there was no evidence like that taken. And to be honest with you guys, when I talked to, and this is where we cross out of entertainment into reality. What I do is entertainment. So when I talk to people who have these encounters, I tell them, hey, my concern is you. And this is something that people really need to understand about what I do. So when I tell stories, when I investigate stories, when I deal with stories, my stories really are about the humans that encounter the cryptids and the ghosts and the demons. It's not also about the dog man or the Bigfoot. That is a character in the story. That is either the antagonist in the story. So as far as me personally, I don't even try to collect evidence. Have I been offered evidence of dog man? Absolutely. Have I seen the footprints that people wanted to send me pictures of and they'll send me a screenshot or, I mean, they'll send me a shot on their phone? Yeah, I delete it. Once you cross that road from entertainment to reality, then you have to start talking about the consequences of these things. And so when I talk to a homeowner or when I talk to a person who's had an encounter, they're like, well, we have prints and we're going to take casts and we're going to give them to somebody. And I say, well, let's talk about common sense, right? So we live in America, the most powerful nation in the world. Hands down, nobody can say it's not, right? We live in an era where we have cell phones in our hands, which are mini spy devices. We live in an era where we have drones that fly over the skies. We live in an area where there's actual holograms that you can use and touch and see. And for someone to think that our government does not know, or to think that these creatures are not known and that people don't know about what's going on, when you use common sense, you have to conclude that they do know, right? So what happens when you decide to... So let's walk down the road. What happens when you do decide to take that cash? Who are you going to give it to? What are you going to do with it, right? And this is what I tell people. I say, well, what are you going to do with that evidence? Well, I'm going to find out what it is. Well, you know what it is. You saw it. Well, somebody needs to know. Well, who are you going to tell? What are you going to do? And once you cross that line from entertainment, and me personally, now speaking for myself, once you cross that line from entertainment to reality, now you get into a whole nother ball of wax. Now you get into Jason Bourne coming knocking on your door saying, hey, I want your evidence, right? And for me, that's not something that I'm interested in because I have a family, I have things that I really care about. So when we start getting into the evidence, is there evidence? Yes. It's all over the internet. You can look at Britton Sawn's channel. You can look at Kurt Stokes' channel. You can look at Vic Cundiff's channel. There's evidence everywhere. The issue is, although you collect that evidence, although that evidence is in front of each and every one of us, there's always that skeptic person who says, oh, well, that's not good enough. I'm not going to believe until I see one, right? Well,
they're not going to believe it until they have a body.
They're not going to believe it until they're eaten.
Yeah, there's definitely different types of people. I'm the Fox Mulder, so to speak. I'm the guy who admittedly wants to believe, but at the same time, I'm kind of the opposite where I'm the guy looking for something physical because, again, we're not quite sure what's going on. So I'm actually the opposite kind of guy, who goes looking for that physical evidence to back up the stories that go along with it. We had talked about earlier, yourself and me, about like the case of the gargoyle in Texas. It wasn't just one person. It was multiple people from NASA seeing something, which to me, again, said something was there. So let's try to hunt down, not necessarily physically hunt down, but what was it? By looking through that evidence, we might be able to discover what's going on. But I did like I said, your that it was definitely not As a lot of people theorize, that it's definitely not a Sasquatch, though, that we are talking about something different when it comes to the Dogmen. Another thing you had told me about, that, and this is something I actually hadn't heard, but you were talking about, forgive me for the word I'm using, but like different breeds of Dogmen, some that were solo, some that were together, different characteristics and that kind of thing. Would you care to expand a little bit on that?
Yeah, so, and this is it's commonly known knowledge that they've been classified into actually three types, but the two types that I've been getting stories about are the type that is the size of a Bigfoot and the actual body type of a Bigfoot with a wolf's head, right? And then there's the other type that is a complete and total canine type that walks on its hind hocks and they run in packs. And so, like I was telling you earlier, if you see the canine type, if you see one, there's more than one. And if you see the larger, super big type, that's one, and that's a terrible machine that you don't want to deal with. So, in both cases, these animals are equally dangerous. They just have different body structures. So, when you referenced earlier about somebody misidentifying it as a Bigfoot, there is a case where you could say, oh, well, that's just a Bigfoot. And I've talked to people who are researchers who said, well, I don't believe in dog man. I think it's just a misidentified Bigfoot. And like I tell them, and I said it earlier, I don't think it cares what you believe. And I think that once you find what you're looking for, it'll be too late. Because who cares if it is if it is a Bigfoot, if it has the body of a Bigfoot and it has human feet, but it just has a wolf head? I mean, in order to find this out, in order to actually figure out what it really is, and I don't think anybody's going to really ever, unless they're like some super soldiers, nobody's really going to find out for sure, because you have to put yourself in such danger in order to figure this out. Like, it's four of us on the phone right now, right? Which one of us four is going to go to a known area where dogmen are, go camping, and sit there, let's pour barbecue sauce on ourselves and wait and see what comes? I'm not doing it. Would any of you guys go do it?
I would love to, honestly. I have
awesome.
Too little fear it's, for my own good.
It's kind of what we do. Yeah. We're not real bright now. No, Dark, we really
y'all are way better than me, bro.
Hey, I do have another question I wanted, because I really enjoy your expertise in this area. When it comes to intelligence, are we talking about more animalistic, or are we talking about more humanistic when it comes to intelligence?
Well, let's talk about intelligence. That's a great question, and I'm really glad you asked that question. So intelligence is determined by what an animal does, right, or what a person does, right? Cognitive reasoning ability, right? So there's stories of men being out on certain pieces of land that they should not be on, illegal logging or clearing land, and they leave. Go out for lunch and come back. There's a severed deer head sitting in the front seat of their bulldozer, right? So what does that say to me when a creature takes the head of a deer and puts it in your bulldozer, right?
That's a warning.
It's a warning, and it's a sign of what? It's a sign of intelligence. So,
oh yeah.
So when we talk about the average animal, like a lion, right? How does a lion give you a warning? It roars, right? That's his warning, and then after that, you're going to get eaten. So when we start talking about the level of intelligence, we're talking about an animal that understands how to frighten you and how to terrorize you. We can go refer back to Linda Godfrey, or we can refer to Vic Kundev, two people who are very well-versed in this. And if you listen to their content, listen to their stories, there are story after story after story after story how people are terrorized by these creatures. The concept of scaring someone, the concept of terrorizing someone, and the story of Siege of Lock and Ranch, the things that they did to that family, that shows the level of intelligence that these creatures have. And unfortunately, I think that what happens is people, as human beings, we want to, project what we want onto a creature. So we want to project our thoughts and our mindset onto this particular type of animal. And I think that's where the danger comes in. So we say, okay, well, it's just an animal. It couldn't be intelligent. Well, why couldn't it be? Why couldn't it have a heightened level of intelligence? It's an apex predator. It's much better of a predator than we are. It survived for years upon years upon years, obviously. So what at the end of the day, the question really is, you know, how intelligent is it? Because it definitely has the ability to reason, because it makes a decision. It makes the decision as to, am I going to terrorize you? Am I going to walk away from you? Or am I going to eat you? Right? That shows the level of intelligence in itself.
Hey, I want to jump into something else really quick because you were, again, kind of referring to it a little bit when you just said you were talking about history and stuff like that. And in doing some of the research to prepare for the show, I believe, B, you were telling me, it was either B or Rick, one of the two were telling me about historically looking at cases starting in, like, France and then moving to the French Quarter and then up to the – towards the Michigan area, then moving out towards out west. Is that something that you've been able to –
from the 1700s on.
That something you've been able to diagnose as well, something similar, and almost like a migration patterns and things like that?
I haven't been able to diagnose any migration patterns. And to be honest with you, I haven't really tried to because that's not what I'm into it for. You know, again, I'm into it for the story. I'm into it for the entertainment. I'm not really into this to figure out exactly what Dogman is doing and where he's going, because at some point in time, you reach a point where you believe. I've had my encounter, and I've shared my encounter. That was enough to make me believe. And once I believe in something, there's no need for me to go digging and figure out where it comes from. I believe you exist. I'm not going where you are, and I'm satisfied with that. So, but what I will say is this. What I will say is this. When you start talking historical accounts, then you start talking about Alexander the Great and their stories about him hiring them as mercenaries in his wars. When you start digging into history, there's stories about people doing trade with them, and this is doing around those times, people actually working and trading with dog-headed creatures. You start talking about the Anubis and the statues of Anubis. So once you jump down that rabbit hole and you start really digging into it, it really is going down a rabbit hole. Because, okay, so there's these statues of this dog-headed creature named Anubis that are in Egypt or wherever it was. I think it was Egypt. So what is that? Where does that come from? Is that what we're looking at today? It definitely fits the description. It looks like a Doberman pincher with a long snout with these super sharp pointed ears on the top of his head that are described as spades, like digging spades when you're digging a garden. That completely fits one of the descriptions of the Dogman that looks like a Doberman pincher. So there's the other Dogmans, and there's other descriptions of these things all throughout history. So what makes it such a mystery is, and people ask me all the time, well, maybe it was something that was genetically created or modified by our government. I said, to me, it really doesn't matter, but I can see that being something that makes sense. I can see it being something that's been around for a very, very long time and survived all the trouble and turbulation that's happened on this planet. I think at the end of the day, I think all those possibilities are there to be explored. And once you start digging into the history of it, I think it actually conflates the issue and makes it more complicated, because now you're digging into history, which you can't relive. But if you stay in the moment of now and what's going on now, all the evidence you need is there. It's right in front of you. Everything you need is right in front of you right now. And I think that's one of our flaws as human beings. We want to go back and look up stuff. Well, if Miss Betty says there's a 10-foot werewolf outside her house, and you can go to Miss Betty's house and you can see a footprint of something that looks like a big wolf, then maybe there's a big wolf outside Miss Betty's house.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, I do, Dark. Hey, just because you threw the word out there again, and again, this is something that we kind of went over, me and you, in the pre-show, but because you threw the word werewolf out there again, when it comes to Dogman, and again, we don't have one, we can't study it, but again, just going with your opinion, your expertise on the subject, when it comes to our listeners who may not be so familiar, when we talk about Dogman, are we talking about a being that is human and transforms into a wolf creature, or are we talking about something that exists solely as a Dogman, in your opinion?
I believe that what we're talking about is something that exists solely as an animal that is what it is 24/7, 7 days a week. That is what it is. And when I use the term werewolf, I use it kind of loosely, but it's that most accurate way to paint the picture in people's head. Because when you say werewolf, everybody can picture a werewolf. When you say a dog, man, they're like, what is a dog, man? But when I've had people who tell me, I say, well, could you tell me what it looked like? Well, have you seen the movie Underworld? I'm like, yeah, I've seen it. You seen the big black guy in Underworld, the bald head one? Yeah. Have you seen what he looks like when he transforms? Yeah, just like that. And I'm like, okay. And I have other people who tell me, have you seen the movie Dog Soldiers? And I was like, no. And I go watch the movie Dog Soldiers. Well, remember when it was coming out of the house and it was long and it was tall and it was slim? Well, it's not that skinny. It's a way more buff, like a bodybuilder, but that's what it looks like. So when I use the term werewolf, I don't mean a person that transforms into some type of creature. What I mean is a creature that has the appearance of what we know as a modern-day werewolf when we do all our animation and everything else. I don't know if it's possible for a human to convert into some type of wolf. It may be. I don't know. But to me now, once I realize that dog – and I'll say this, you know, this has done a lot for me as a person coming to these revelations, because once you realize that and you know and you realize that one thing exists, it opens your minds to the possibility of other things. And and maybe on another interview, we're going to some of the other freaky stuff that I haven't even touched on that's in the water. Like, you worry about what's in the land. You got to worry about what's in the water. What's in the water is more crazy than what's on the land. So,
boy.
Yeah, some of the stuff that I get from fishermen and people who work on oil rigs, I'm like, wait, what? You saw what? And it's insane. But I'll hold that for later, because that's going to be coming out another month. But it's just the concept
that you mentioned that. Because today we actually watched a video in the Mariana Trench of a shark. It was definitely a real shark, and there was a diver's cage next to it for size. And this thing could have swallowed the diver's cage that was laying on the bottom of the ocean. And they're saying it might be Megalodon. And so we don't know what's there. I don't like going in the water. I'll go look for Dog Man, but I'm not going in the water.
I'm scared.
Man.
Well, that's actually why we do the Monster Cast, because we like to look at all these sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But I think there is definitely some fear about the water when it comes to that.
I'm in. I'll go.
Hey, Dark.
I'm a Florida boy.
Dark, thank you for coming on. I know you had had a time limitation, so we don't want to keep you too much longer on that. We do appreciate your time and we'd love to have you come back on again, sir.
Oh, absolutely. You've been great.
We'll definitely do it again. And I'm sorry that I have the time restriction, but we'll definitely do it again. I'll do the whole hour. If you want to go 2 hours, we'll do 2 hours, whatever you want to do.
Oh, wow. And whatever you want to do, we're actually really cool with that. Been enjoying this.
Dark, I appreciate you coming on. It's been great talking to you and through Twitter. I'll keep in contact anytime we have anything else coming up that we might want to talk with you. It's been amazing, sir.
And feel free to go plug away yourself right now for our audience.
Yeah, go ahead.
To find me, you can go to you can find me on Twitter and Facebook. It's @DarkH201. And then if you want to hear the best horror stories, I think they're the best horror stories out there, go to YouTube and go and type in the Dark Waters channel, and all my body of work is there. And just so people will know, I really, really try to bring to life every encounter that a person has. You know, the typical YouTube narrator, they sit there and read a story, and they put a little bit of music behind it. Well, if you listen to theirs and you listen to mine, you understand these are two completely different worlds, and that's because I do care about the people who have these encounters, and I do take the time to find out what happened to them and how it affected them and how it affected their family. And I'm able to put together the most realistic sounding encounter that you will ever hear. So I think if your listeners go, they will enjoy it, and they'll be addicted like everybody else. And I scare myself when I make this stuff. So,
and I can tell you, I love your videos. We've watched quite a few of them in the last week.
Yeah.
And I mean, to all our listeners, I would definitely recommend listening to the videos. He's a great narrator. Stories sound awesome. It keeps you interested.
All right, guys. Well, thank you. And whenever you guys are ready to do it again, I promise you will have my full time blocked out.
All right. Sounds
thank
good.
Thank you so
Dark.
Much, Dark. You have a great time today.
All right,
feel better,
you.
Man.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
All right, so here we are on the Monster Cast. If you're listening right now, we want to know your opinion on on tonight's topic of the Dogmen. So if you want to give us a call, 657-383-0551. Once again, we would love to hear from you. And what's funny, guys, is we've actually had quite a few people talk to us about, hey, I want to be on the show, I want to be a guest. here's your chance. We've even had these same people listening to the show but not calling in. So, again, guys, going to throw out that number, 657-383-0551. That's 657-383-0551. If you want to talk about the Dogmen, what's your opinion? What are some questions you may have? You know, those kinds of things. We'd love to hear from you right now. Throwing it out to you guys. Rick.
I do want to throw out a very big thank you to Dark Waters. It was very great of him to come on. If you are a previous Dark Water listener tuning in to listen to us, thank you so much for tuning in.
And we will be having him again. Oh, absolutely.
Definitely. So, guys, what do you think of tonight's topic, the Dogmen?
I firmly believe that Dogman is real.
I've seen enough evidence to believe there is a large canine creature that can walk on its hind legs. It fits the description of a werewolf, whether it's a werewolf or not. Who knows? It's probably just some cryptid that we don't know about, like Bigfoot. And people got to remember, these things, if they evolved beside us, they're used to hiding in the woods. They're used to avoiding humans. It makes sense that we're not finding evidence every day. But the evidence is there.
See, for me, for the longest time, I looked at the Dogmen phenomenon. And what I thought was, well, it's just a misidentified Bigfoot. For the longest time, that's what my thought was, because let's be honest, a lot of the description, when you accept getting away from the facial,
it sounds
tends
like
to be very, very similar. Oh, yeah. But when people talk about the Dogmen, when they talk about Bigfoot, very human-like face, they
yep.
it just repeatedly.
Very.
But when it comes to Dogmen, it's a very canine face. So there's definitely a difference between the two. And I've also seen, and that's why I was looking for in Darkwater's story about the house, I was looking for that canine footprint, because I know they have been found as well. Where, again, if it was a Sasquatch, if it was a Bigfoot, then that's what you'd be finding outside the home.
Not paw prints.
But
that
they're
are
not.
As big as
they're
my
finding,
head.
Again, canine yeah. prints. But the problem is, they don't fit no canine. We've seen big dogs, but that ain't the big dog.
Now here's a question, and I don't know if this is going to make anyone mad, because it depends on whether you believe evolution or creationism. But if you believe in evolution and you believe we evolved from apes, why can't we believe that wolves and dogs and other things are slowly evolving too, and they're showing up around the world? I mean, if we evolved this way, why can't other animals? We could very well be dealing with Bigfoot being a new sentient being, Dogman being a new sentient being. We might have to live in a world where that's part of our life. These exist. They're there.
Now, we're going totally on speculation with this next question, but I want to bring it up. And again, it's something I brought up to Dark Waters, and he gave us his opinion. But there are a lot of stories from around the country, around the world, of whether you call it a skinwalker or whatever, but beings that can transform from a human being type, or from a human being basically, into something else. And when it comes to, again, when we look at the stories, the Dogmen kind of things, and the wolf-like appearance, that kind of thing, always one of my questions have always been, is this something that, like Dark Waters said, do you think, where it's a being in itself, or is it a transformative being that's a human? And here's why I'm thinking along those lines. And again, we don't claim to be experts on this. I'm not saying that. But again, earlier we talked about looking at the history when it comes to Dogmen sightings. And the early ones, we found them in France. And then amazingly, when they show up in America, they show up in New Orleans, particularly in the
French Quarter.
And then as the population moved northern, so did the things. So my point is, if it's a dog man coming over on a ship, it's pretty obvious, hey, look, it's a dog man
versus a human being
that could be something else. Your thoughts, and again, this is all speculation.
I mean,
your thoughts.
Very well could have been a dog man that was purposely captured and brought over to spread it into a new colony.
That's possible.
It is highly possible. It could be a skinwalker, a transformation type thing. I mean, literally, we don't know. I personally do believe that it is a being. It doesn't switch. The Dogman as we know it, I don't believe that it is a transformed human at one time.
Let's talk about how transformation would even work. All right, you would have to change your entire cellular structure over the course of however long transformation takes. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
We've seen the movies.
Your body would burn calories that it doesn't have. You would burn off all your fat. You'd burn off everything to fuel this transformation. And then you'd have to eat, which would make you super aggressive because you would need protein to refill those calories. Now, these things don't seem to be that aggressive, even though the stories of werewolves say they're crazed on the full moon. And these things give warnings and try to leave you alone and avoid you. But we did find a story about a kid dying today.
Yeah, but we weren't sure if that was Dogman itself.
Or a wolf.
Or a wolf.
But it happened in California. They said it was a wolf attack, but there's no wolves that have been seen there since 1924 or something. Just a ridiculous number. But kid wandered off.
With his brothers.
With his brothers. We saw the video of him wandering off. They went home. The parents were furious. Where's your brother? Oh, he wandered off. They found him dead on the tracks. Something had attacked him from behind, knocked him down, bit the back of his neck.
The official police report does say that it was a wolf attack.
The official police report says it was a wolf attack in an area where no wolf had been seen since the 20s. And that makes you wonder. That does make you wonder more about the transformative. Because if no wolves have been sighted, but a wolf just died, or a wolf just killed somebody, you know, what is it?
Definitely. Hey, one of the problems with having a podcast that's run out of a cafe live is we get customers who come in. So I'm going to break away from the table, guys. Leave that up to you for a minute while I say hi to our new guests.
That's all right. No problem. We got this.
Welcome to Fanboys.
Mm-hmm. Love to have you.
All right. So, firstly, Dark Waters was great. I very much hope he listens in and is. We appreciate him coming on. He's our first guest on. Brandon B., what do you think? What do you think about this phenomenon? What?
I mean, I believe it's absolutely real. There's too much evidence. There's been a lot of investigation. There's definitely an upright canine walking around. What it is, I really don't know. I'd love to say it's a werewolf and people are transforming.
That'd be awesome.
It'd be amazing. That'd be really cool. I'd be like, make me one. You know, like, no doubt it'd be fun, but we don't know for sure. I think it exists, but I think it's probably a cryptid like Bigfoot. It's just something, it's mutations in the genes. It walks upright now, you know?
Yeah. And like we talked about it earlier, whether we thought it was aggressive or I think it's territorial. We go into its home, it's going to retaliate by coming into our home. And where one person may not want to go into its home, I'm right there going, let me see this thing, let me find it. I'm going to try to find this thing because I want to know. It doesn't have anything to do with proving it to other people. It's to prove it to me, just the same as with other experiences I've had. I mean, I want to know. That's really what it is.
You know what we need to do? We just need to go up to Bray Road and start investigating.
Yeah,
I mean,
who wants to fund us going up to Bray Road and see if we can find the beast of Bray Road?
You guys get us some equipment and we will investigate anything, anywhere, anytime. You just let us know. And we would love to have some callers.
And, you know, people will ask.
Actually, we have a caller coming in right now.
Oh, we do have a caller. All right, hold on one second.
I'm so
here.
Sorry about putting you on hold. Hit that button right there, like with the mouse. The microphone.
We are teaching somebody to take calls right now, so please be patient with us. My fiance has never done this before.
Hello, caller. Who we have on the line?
I'm Danny, by the way.
Caller, you're on live with MonsterCast.
Hello?
Hello, who's calling in?
We can hear you.
You can hear me. Yay, this is Deanda. How are you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
Good. Hey, I have a couple questions for you. I was listening
okay,
to the podcast. It's a podcast. And by the way, it's my first podcast.
Okay.
So you guys, you broke my virgin box by my virgin podcast.
Oh, I'm so proud. We're your first.
That makes us feel good.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Hell yeah.
are there other sightings, or how far back does this go? And have there been other sightings in other parts of the country?
Okay, we actually have research sightings as recent as 2014 in
2015, July 2015 in Mercer County, PA.
In Mercer County, Pennsylvania. We've researched it back to ancient France.
1600.
1600.
Is we got back to France, and that's where it seems to originate from. And then you go from France in the 1600s to the French Quarter in Louisiana in the 1700s, and then they migrate north towards Wisconsin right around the 1800s. And now that it's the 1900s, they've kind of come down into Pennsylvania, Ohio, and out west into Nevada, Colorado, and over in parts of France, they're still being sighted, and all over the world. This isn't just a U.S. phenomenon. It's everywhere.
Right. Well, the reason I asked is because I was listening, and as I was listening to the stories and stuff, it reminded me of a story of my friend had told me. This would have been back in the early 80s in Montana. Her and her brother were up in the mountains by Homestake Lake, and they were just moving along. And suddenly there was this weird sound off the side of the car. They had parked the car, and when she looked, she says there was just this, she couldn't explain it. But when she got home, she drew it, and it just made me think she drew a dog man type thing. Because, you know, I mean, Montana, you get Bigfoot sightings and crap like that all the time, but this was not a Bigfoot that she saw. So that's why I was asking if there had been any other evidence of it anywhere else besides, you know, like Pennsylvania and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think every state has had at least a couple of sightings.
Montana has a few. I haven't researched into them, but we can look more into that. And are you available to get that picture that she drew still? I mean, I know that was a long time ago, but
it's been a long time, but I can get a hold of her. We reconnected on Facebook, so I can definitely ask her about it.
Okay, if you can get that, you can go ahead and get me on Twitter at MonsterCastRick, that's R-I-K, and if you can get that picture and send it to me, we can look more into it and see what we can find out for the Montana area.
Yeah, because we're happy to investigate anything. This is really we want it to be an interactive show, so you calling in is great, you know, and this is what we want. We want people to tell stories. We want to elaborate. We want to do more research. So this is wonderful.
Eventually, we want to go out and do investigations ourselves.
Yeah. Live in the field. Yeah.
There you go. Well, I travel through a lot of northern Pennsylvania for my job, so now you guys are making me afraid to travel at night. Thanks a lot.
Don't be afraid.
There's no reports of them attacking cars or anything crazy like that.
That's just me.
And in northern Pennsylvania, actually, there has not been a lot of sightings. They're mostly in western Pennsylvania near the Ohio border,
and a
couple down towards Harrisburg.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for my podcast.
Oh, thank you for listening.
Thank you so much. Listen to us every week.
Thank
we'll be back on again Thursday, so you can always listen in then.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
you
so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
All right, that was our first caller. That was awesome. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it. I believe you said your name was Amanda.
We're so happy that we were able to be your first podcast.
Yeah.
And as you said, you know, we're not going to repeat it.
Yeah.
But
it's there.
We're happy
okay.
to have done that for you.
We have a little less than 10 minutes left. Does anybody else want to call in? One more, 657-383-0551. You are on MonsterCast with Rick and B.
And Danny.
And Danny, because she decided to pipe in there.
She just jumped in. Cupcake is here.
That's my nickname, I guess.
We are sponsored by Fanboys Cafe. Without Fanboys Cafe, we wouldn't be able to do this.
And
come on down to Fanboys Cafe, Horseheads, New York. We are here live every Thursday night.
What is the Fanboys Cafe?
Awesome.
The Fanboys Cafe is amazing. The Fanboys Cafe is someplace that you can come. You can have some great food, some Dagobah swamp juice. You can have Andorian steak salad. Just a lot of good food. We've got a 155-inch screen here that we can watch movies on.
It's a great place to just sit down and chill and
just relax. You can come watch our podcast live. This is the MonsterCast. With Rick and B and Hogan, but there will be some other podcasts coming up in the future for fans.
All right, we will be having also, as well as the MonsterCast, we will be having Geek Speak, where we take, that's the right one, Geek Speak, where we take a product, geeky property, sorry, lost my words, every week and talk about it. We're talking about Captain America. We're talking about Star Wars, Star Trek, Godzilla, King Kong. We also have Fanboys Rescue, where Dave is going to rescue fanboys because that's what he does.
And I don't know. I'd like to get some fangirls on here, even on the MonsterCast.
Oh, you do have us on MonsterCast. We're looking at Thursdays right now. Things might be switching up because of my job schedule, but we are on live on Thursdays as it is right now, talking about all the spooky paranormal things. Bigfoot, Black Eyed Kids. You need to go back and listen to our Black Eyed Kids episode if you haven't listened to it. I had a mental breakdown. It's okay.
And we also have a YouTube video where I interview Rick about his Black Eyed Kids experience. And you can find that on the MonsterCast Boys YouTube channel. Go ahead, check it out, subscribe. We're going to be putting our podcast up there. They're going to be going up a couple other places as well. So you have plenty of options to listen to us. Listen to them all. Support us.
Every Tuesday night at the Fanboys Cafe is Fanboys Trivia, where you will come in, and it's not just trivia. It is Fanboys music, nerdy music for all the nerds out there.
Good job, guys.
Thank you.
And we got to tell you, we are absolutely loving doing this podcast and getting callers and getting comments. Constructive criticism is always appreciated.
If you don't like me saying so much, go ahead and hit in and tell me to stop. I know we heard Mr. Hogan here was told to stop saying so much.
Hey, what are some upcoming ideas for MonsterCast?
All right. This Thursday, I think we are going to do the UFO phenomenon.
Now, we're not sure if we're going to stick to one case or if we're just going to do a broad one to start with, but we will be covering UFOs on Thursday. Everybody knows UFOs, lots of experience. We expect lots of callers. We expect it to be a good episode. Make sure to tune in.
We will start delving into the creatures that swim in the deep. We're going to look at Nessie. I still want to look at Champ. He's close to us. I want to look at the Thames.
The Megalodon.
Whatever that Megalodon is. I'm going to get more in contact with Dark Waters, which follow him on Twitter at DarkH201. I hit up his YouTube page. It is awesome. I watch his videos every chance I get.
Dark Waters, make sure you subscribe and like.
Yep.
The same with our channel. It's not much to click those buttons, but it means a lot to us.
Tonight was an absolutely wonderful show. Thank you to everybody who listened in. We had a great time. Dark Waters was awesome. I can't thank him enough for coming on the show.
That was great. He's a great storyteller.
Our caller Amanda, again, thank you so much for calling in and having a chat with us. Hit me up on Twitter, see if we can get that picture, and we will look into more Montana sightings. We've got about 2 minutes, so we're going to sign off here. Guys, I appreciate everything so much. This is Rick.
This is me.
And Danny.
Have a great night. Thank you so much.
And the outro.
Bicycle.